This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
The Walt Disney Company realizes video games are big after all. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news Disney is partnering with Epic Games. That's the creator of the popular Fortnite video game. Disney is taking a $1.5 billion stake in the company in an effort to diversify and grow at a time when its traditional businesses, think linear television, old school, and films, have been struggling. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Well, David, what you can expect in the not-too-distant future is video games made by Epic featuring characters and stories from Disney's various franchises, including Marvel superheroes, Star Wars, and Avatar. Now, this has the markings of Disney's deal more than 20 years ago with Pixar. Disney signed up Pixar to make a bunch of animated movies, and then when Bob Iger was CEO, Disney bought Pixar. Now, there are also a lot of differences between then and now, but you can see where Iger is dusting off a previous play.
And Disney shut down its own video game division back in 2016. What's the attraction to that business now?
Well, I think you know the answer as well as I do. We've been reporting video games are a big growth area, and Disney's looking around for growth. Its film and TV business has been flagging, and its one-time cash cow ESPN is struggling too. And here's another element of the timing. The quarterly results that Disney just put out yesterday, which included this announcement, are the first that allow us to fully assess Bob Iger's return as CEO. He came back in November 2022. Results Disney just reported show revenues were flat between the last quarter of 2022 and now, so he's under pressure, including from activist investors, to find growth.
All right, Nova, thank you. Now, we've been reporting this week on that new one-stop app to stream Major League Sports from Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers, Discovery. The Wall Street Journal's reporting that pro sports leagues first heard about the deal the same time we did when the public announcement came about the new app. The phrase game changer is way overused, but it is an apt phrase here regarding this still unnamed streaming app. U.S. Federal Reserve officials have been spending the week driving home the point that interest rates are unlikely to go down quickly.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari set the tone yesterday morning when he told CNBC he only thinks the Fed will cut interest rates a few times this year, way less than investors expect. Then Fed Governor Adriana Kugler said she wants to see more progress on inflation before cutting interest rates. The Fed has been keeping rates high to dampen demand and cool inflation. Next, Boston Fed President Susan Collins said it'll probably be appropriate to start easing rates later this year, after there's more evidence that inflation is slowing. Richmond Fed President Tom Barkin wrapped up the day saying the Fed should take its time with rate cuts because of all the economic uncertainty right now. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
For the first time on record, the world's average temperature has risen more than 1.5 degrees Celsius over 12 months. 1.5 C is the target limit, and this calculation is from the EU climate service called Copernicus. The Paris Climate Accord was designed for this not to happen. Here's the BBC's Justin Rolat.
What this is showing is that we're nudging really close to that important symbolic boundary, and that is already having consequences around the world, and we should be worried about it. What's interesting is when you look into the detail of the figures, just how extreme the temperatures have been. Every single one of the last 8 months has been the hottest month ever recorded. A new daily sea temperature record has been set every single day since late April. And that just shows you how unusual this last 12-month period has been.
That's the BBC's climate editor, Justin Rowlatt.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
I don't want to steal my colleague Justin Ho's lead here, but China has been supplanted as the number one exporter to the United States. New numbers from the Commerce Department show that imports to the U.S. fell overall last year. China imports down 20% from a year earlier. Here's Justin.
A big reason why trade with China was down last year is that people just aren't buying as many of the kinds of goods that China is known for making.
Computers, cell phones, furniture, desks.
Mary Lovely is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
And so as consumers turn away from them, naturally our imports of those goods from China will fall.
Another reason is that it hasn't exactly been easy to import from China over the last few years. First, there was the trade war that started during the Trump administration. Then supply chains got all congested during the pandemic. Robert Johnson, a professor at the University of Notre Dame, says companies have been rethinking whether trade with China is worth it.
There's been a movement in general towards moving production stages to countries that have more secure access to the U.S. market.
Those include Vietnam, Canada, and Mexico. Last year, the U.S. bought more goods from Mexico than China for the first time in more than 20 years. Johnson says Mexico has been supplying a lot of auto parts and steel, also products that China makes too, including electronics.
The rising importance of Mexico as a source of electronics for the U.S. leads me to believe that that's a symptom of reorienting of consumer electronics supply chains.
That doesn't necessarily mean that China is out of the picture. A recent paper by Harvard and Dartmouth economists found that Chinese companies have been investing more in Mexico and Vietnam. Megan Schoenberger, senior economist with KPMG, says that could be a way for those companies to indirectly send goods to the U.S. market.
Maybe they'll export somewhere else, it'll get assembled in Mexico, or they'll add a portion of it, and then it can be exported to the U.S. without carrying the cost of those tariffs.
Either way, Schoenberger says we shouldn't expect the prices of those goods to come down quickly, even when they're coming from countries with lower trade barriers. That's because moving supply chains around isn't cheap.
It's not as if you can pick up your manufacturing plant and move it somewhere else. That takes time. It costs investment.
And that, Schoenberger says, could put pressure on prices in the short term. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
It's another month of deflation in China, with news consumer prices there fell 0.8% in January, the fourth month of decline there and the biggest drop since the great financial crisis of 2009. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.